worked out. We did a little growing pains this year, but it's been an awesome youth camp. God has moved around here. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I'm just so thrilled and honored that this man of God has come to be with us. We want you to come. Now, we finally got the crowd we're used to having around here, so we don't dare want you to quit. We want our money's worth tonight, brother. Hallelujah. No, we just want him to do whatever God has laid on his heart to do. Amen, church? God bless Brother Morgan. Come, Brother Morgan, and follow the Holy Ghost again tonight. We're glad you're here.
Everybody should praise the Lord. Anybody glad to be in the presence of the Lord tonight? Anybody glad you're Holy Ghost filled? Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. God bless you for standing. And it's good to feel the presence of the Lord. I feel an anticipation in this place tonight. I believe something good's already happened and something good's going to continue to happen. I believe it's going to keep on after the camp closes. Amen. I don't believe the Lord's touching lives like he has been these last few nights, just for it to be a momentary tingling of sensation. Amen. But God wants to change lives. Amen. Anybody know the Lord can change your life? Hallelujah. Like somebody said, if your religion doesn't change you, it's time for you to change your religion. Amen. I'm glad for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm glad that living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Hallelujah. And I enjoy that song. Amen. And it's been such an honor to be here. And I do want to say that we have enjoyed the services immensely. And then we just kind of normally don't do it. Believe it or not, I usually attend service because I'm usually by myself. And I usually attend all the day. Well, I don't say all of them. Most of the day sessions. But the elders, these men have been so kind to let us kind of have the day off. And so we took advantage of it a little bit. And this afternoon we were in, where's that bridge at? Canyon City Gorge, Royal Gorge. It's a very interesting thought. When you're crossing that bridge, and the verse of Scripture comes to you that says, "Lo, I am with you always." And saying nothing about high. I don't mind flying. I don't mind it at all. And I've been in some storms. And said, Lord have mercy. That old bridge got to moving. I don't know who was the most nervous, me or Jared. I said, oh, God. And how anybody, they bungee jump off that thing? They are crazy in their head. God have mercy. Oh, Lord. And they think we're crazy. But we're just crazy in the Holy Ghost. Okay. It's good to be here. Sister Morgan, all the way to church, she kept telling me, now don't have me come up to the front and say anything. So I've lived with you long enough to know you're the boss. I'm going to let you stand back there and testify. Amen. I said amen. Let's stand for the reading of the word of the Lord tonight. Y'all ready to shout a little bit? I've been working y'all over. Let's kind of lighten up a little bit tonight. Luke chapter, I hope you got your shouting shoes on tonight. I'm telling you, some of them down there look like shouting shoes. I can tell you that right now. Thank God for shoe polish. Amen. Of course, out here, thank God for a dust mop. Amen. We used to have camp when I was a kid. We used to have camp growing up in Missouri District. We had a little place called Westphalia. And you're battling with the dust, and we used to battle with the mud. And invariably, every camp, it'd start raining. We used to have a tabernacle. It was concrete floor, and it was just a roof. And those old pews back there kind of remind me of it. And boy, it'd start raining, and the wind start blowing, and it just depended on what side you were on. Amen. And I wouldn't take anything for some of the memories that I have. The glory of the Lord coming down. I remember one service, the Lord was so powerful in that place. And you've probably heard people say this before, but I've seen it, and I know probably others here have. But that blue mist, blue haze, as it hovered above the heads of God's people, and such a powerful, powerful touch of the Holy Ghost. That'd be all right if that happened around here tonight, wouldn't it? Amen. Luke chapter number 19. Read two verses of Scripture, verse number 9 and verse number 10. I want to say I appreciate your response to the Word of the Lord. Y'all have been soaking and absorbing and taking it in and responding. And I preached a long time last night. I've been asked on the way, was I going to preach that long tonight? I was reminded that y'all have a banquet. So I'm going to try to just mosey through here. Amen. And I know y'all's all dolled up and ready to go. So anyhow, Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Everybody said that, which was lost. Amen. I want to preach the subject, that which was lost. Amen. That which was lost. I got a feeling we're fixing to have a Holy Ghost good time. Turn around somebody next to you and shake their hand and tell them, say, why don't you come on in this house? Glory. Turn around somebody else and shake their hand and say, we're going to have a good time in this house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's clap to the Lord, shall we? He is worthy of praise and adoration. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. I'm glad that He is a God of unlikely people, from unlikely places, and with unlikely backgrounds. Amen. And if you could take a poll of Pentecost of the church and find out where all everybody had come from, even if we took a poll in this place tonight, we'd all be shocked at some of the testimonies and some of the places that God brought people out of and from. But there's one good thing about it. We all come the same way. Washed by the blood of Jesus. Sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad that He is a God that does not respect persons. Amen. I'm glad that it's beyond the Jews now and the seed of Abraham. I'm glad that it's not just a particular caliber or race. Amen. I'm glad it is whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. I think that a part of the end time revival is going to be breaking down of racial barriers and the prejudices and the discriminations that we have seen evident. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time to have revival in every community. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, black, white, red, or yellow. It's time for the gospel to be preached to every creature. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Man, I could preach on that for a little while. Amen. It's time to scoot down the pew and let somebody sit next to you. It don't matter what color they are. It don't matter if they smell like cologne or body odor. It's time to pray them through. Yes, it is. I said it's time to pray them through. I'm not interested in just building a church of blue-collar workers. I'm not interested in just reaching the professional field. I'm not interested in just reaching the poor class of people either. I think that the church needs to be in every avenue. It needs to be in every aspect of our communities. We need to get in the streets and tell everybody that Jesus Christ saves from sin. It don't matter if you're a crack addict. It don't matter if you're a prostitute. It don't matter if you're an executive. Honey, the blood of Jesus Christ saves
from all sin. Hallelujah. My God. I like preaching in churches where they got interpreters that's having to interpret in all different kinds of languages. Amen. I like watching the little headsets on and others responding to a different dialect or a different tongue. It reminds me a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. Amen. It reminds me of the picture that John talked about when he said, I've seen them coming out of every race, kindred, tongue, tribe, nation, people, but they all had one thing in common. The robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Honey, it's time to worship God together. It's time to lift Him up in unity. Hallelujah! Glory to God. My God, who's ever hungry, feed them. If the white people in your town aren't hungry, find you somebody else that is. When I took that old, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it. When I took that old Mogi church, she was lily white. We kept trying to reach people and kept trying to reach them and kept trying to reach them, and they all want to be climbing up the social ladder in town, and they want to attend churches that's going to give them a little prestige, and dear God, they want to be known as a holy roller. Amen. So I was driving back one day from the Tulsa airport saying, God, I got to have revival. He said, they that are holding not a physician, but I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you want revival, you find out where there's a need. You find out where people are hungry. You find out where they're in crisis. Hallelujah. He said, you're on the wrong side of the tracks. You're trying to reach the wrong caliber of people. Amen. So I just made up my mind, honey, I don't care where they come from. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their background is. And I got some dandies. Amen. It don't matter. We're going to testify to everybody. We're going to reach out to everybody. Woo! I mean, after all, that's what Jesus ran into in this particular text of Scripture. Zacchaeus of all people. Zacchaeus. Oh, Zacchaeus. Tax collecting Zacchaeus. Betrayer of his people. The Roman government paid him a percentage to collect taxes. Amen. He was quite a wealthy individual. And he got wealthy by doing it against his own brethren. They despised Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. Boy, ain't it funny who the Lord wants to eat supper with. Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Amen. The Lord stops. You know the story. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go home and eat supper with you today. Oh, the crowd got bent out of shape. The scribes and the Pharisees. Can you believe that he would eat with such a one? How is she going to win them? I didn't say become like them to win them. But you got to go where they're at. Well, praise God. And so he goes to the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is repenting. And he said, I'm ready to sell everything I got and give it to the poor. I've been a bad man. Isn't it funny? All the Lord's got to do is just get in their house. And brother, they're ready to start repenting. God, I'm sorry. I've been a bad man. I'm willing to take what I have taken from people and give it back and make restitution. I think that's true repentance. He said, I'll give it back fourfold. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. It don't matter what he's been doing. It don't matter where he's been. It don't matter what his background is. He's a son of Abraham. And today, salvation has come to his house. And that's hard for some of us to swallow. Because we look and view some people as being, this is not correct terminology, but you can understand it, unsavable. Not them. Not that person. Maybe we ought to have a testimony service tonight. Maybe I ought to start asking some of you to stand and tell where God brought you from. Amen. And then the Lord makes the statement, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, as far as we're concerned, you can almost see him pointing his finger at Zacchaeus and saying, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to understand that if he had been in the direction of Zacchaeus, he would have used the pronoun, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save him that was lost. Or he would have said he's come to seeking to save them that were lost, or those that were lost. But he does not use those, them, or him. He chooses the word that which was lost. Amen. Stay with me just a second. Amen. So is it denoting just humanity? Is it humanity that he's talking about? Or is it something in humanity? Or is it something that humanity gives him? What was it that he lost? Now you've got to understand, we are talking about God manifested in the flesh. He is in situation where he says that which was lost. He is not just speaking as a man now, but he is speaking as God. What was it that God ever lost? Was it humanity? I hate to tell you, but it wasn't humanity. Well, I've lost you right there, didn't I? He knew what humanity would do before humanity was ever created. Ooh, hallelujah. I think that if you really look at it closely, it transcends time. And it goes into the environment of a place called, we call it heaven. But actually it's eternity. And there in that great utopia, that place of harmony and peace, where the angels proclaimed him to be God. And there was a worship of praise and adoration to this true God. Amen. Then you've got to understand how it all begins to unfold. Amen. Lucifer plays the important and the central part of this particular passage, whether you understand it or not. Lucifer is what he was called in the beginning. The bright and the morning star is actually what he was. But more than that, Lucifer was, if I could put it like this, where you could, a little Pentecostal vernacular. He was the music leader. He was the worship leader of heaven. Amen. The prophet said, because of thy brilliance, you have become proud in your heart. Now, what does that mean? Amen. When you look at the covering of Lucifer, he had all these different precious stones that covered him. You study it out from history and the scripture. He led the angelic host before the throne of God in worship and in praise. God, who is the Word and light, when that light would hit Lucifer's covering, it would filter throughout heaven with the rainbow of color. The scripture calls it brilliance. And it was like a rainbow that filtered through there. And Lucifer, another part of his workmanship, was the tapestry and the pipe. Well, stay with me a second. Amen. Tapestry. If you translate that down, we got a modern word for it called tambourine or timbrel. The pipe was the instrument that was used to play in leading angels or people into rejoicing and especially into dancing. So when Lucifer would approach the throne, he didn't go just any way he wanted to go. He approached it with the covering and the brilliant color of light. And then in all of that, you could hear the playing of the tambourine and the playing of the flute as the sons of God would shout with joy. And the angels would dance before the throne and give honor unto him that sits upon the throne forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Lucifer says, I wonder what God would do if he lost his worship leader. You know, I mean, after all, music is a vital part of all of this, and I think music ought to be on the same level as the Word of God. Ain't nobody in the building loves music any more than I do. I paid good money to have music in my church. Amen. I like it cranked down. I like it loud. I like it pumped up. I don't like whiny music. Now, if you like it, that's your own I'm up here now. When you get up here, you say what you like. I don't like that old whiny guitar music. Twang, twang, twang. Amen. I like something that's got some punch to it. I like some of that soul music. Well, I lost some of you cowboys. Amen. I mean, I like it. I tell the guys when they start service, I said, look, guys, don't go out there and start it like it's a funeral home. It's easier to slow a freight train down than it is to get one started. Kick it in high gear. I mean, take off like a scalded cat. Whatever you do, just get with it. If the Holy Ghost wants to slow down, we'll slow her down. But there's one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to act like the Church of Christ, and we're not going out there as the dead in Christ. We're going out there to praise Him. Hang on now. And so Lucifer said, well, I need to be on the same level that God's on. So I will exalt and be like the Most High God. Well, what would happen to the United Pentecostal Church if all of the quote-unquote music ministers left? We'd probably have revival. At least some of the ones I've seen, amen. Especially some of the male music directors. They make me just a tad nervous. I don't mind telling you right now. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. I like a man that shakes my hand kind of firm. And when he says, praise the Lord, I don't want to have to look for the second time to see if he's a man or not. I like one of them good old-fashioned handshakes.
Well, praise God.
And ain't nothing wrong with a man playing the piano, playing the organ, all this stuff, but just gargle a little gravel or something. I mean, just anyhow. So Lucifer, I'm losing it right here. Lucifer says, well, I want to be like God, so I'm going to exalt. That's what I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing as powerful in my kingdom as me, and I'm the Word. And there's nothing as powerful in the church as preaching. Now, where's Sister Elder? Which one led the choir tonight? Where's she at? She leave? Dead leave? I'm not. Man, they did a great job. I like that kind of thing. I'm not in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. But I'm telling you, I don't care how good the choir gets. And I don't care how much they can thump the bass. And I don't care how much they can double time on the floor time. I'm telling you, amen. The bottom line is, sing all you want to sing. Do all you want to do. But when it's said and done, there is nothing as high or exalted as the Word of God. Nothing. And I know some folks, brother, they can worship when it's time to sing. But when it's time to preach, they ain't nowhere around. I ain't talking about your sister either. Amen. I mean, boy, when they're performing, they're doing a good job. But then when the preacher steps to the pulpit and preach, they sit like a bunch of knots on the log. I think if you're going to worship God while the singing goes on, you need to learn how to do it while the preaching's going on. Woo! Let's take a little ride tonight. Amen. I'm just laying a foundation so far. Amen. So he said, Lucifer, I'm going to show you what I think. And Lucifer got kicked out. And something was lost out of God's heaven. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to create something lower than the angels. Hallelujah. I'm going to create me a place called the earth. I'm going to create something called a human being. And Lucifer, what you took out of my kingdom, I'm going to come to yours and take it out of your little kingdom. Hallelujah. And so the scenario begins. Lucifer said, I know enough about God. When sin enters the picture, he ain't going to have nothing to do with it. And so he steps into the garden, not knowing that he's nothing more but the pawn on the streams of God. Amen. He causes Adam and Eve to partake of the fruit, and mankind falls into sin and darkness. And Lucifer backs up and says, I got you there, God. He said, Lucifer, I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll be a day come that the heel of the woman's going to bruise your head, and the seed of the woman is going to get victory over you.
My.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And so it starts when the fullness of time came. I preached a message a few years ago, and we got to church, and it's kind of funny because they would expect it. And when I stepped to the pulpit, I read just a couple verses of prophecies about the Messiah coming. And then they didn't know, well, some of them that were going to participate did, but the majority of the congregation didn't know that the lights were about to go out. And so when I got over there where Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, I had them turn out all the lights in the building. I mean, every light. And that's back a few years ago when we was in a little box auditorium and no windows. And brother, when the lights were out, I mean, you couldn't see your hand that close in front of you. And when the lights went out, you could hear them. Oh, my God, oh, God, God, oh, God. Some of them thought death had come and they weren't ready to go. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Amen. And I had a little pin light up there where they couldn't see, stage light up there where they couldn't see him. And I had all these prophecies about the Messiah coming. And every time I read a prophecy, I had somebody stationed in the building with a candle. And they'd light that candle. And I said, this is how prophecy brings light. And light started revealing the plan of God. And when I got down to Isaiah, for unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. It was kind of dim. You could start making out shapes and forms. And I said, this is how Isaiah felt. All he could see was the shapes and the forms of something that was to come. Hallelujah. But when the fullness of time came, and when I said that, they went to flicking the lights on in the building. Christ being made of a woman. They weren't seeing darkly then. They were seeing it in the face of revelation. He came, he said, to seek and to save that which was lost. My, 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 my. Now here's what took place. Lucifer knew as long as sin is involved, God is not going to have nothing to do with it. But what he did not anticipate was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Ooh. He didn't anticipate blood washing away the sins of humanity. He did not anticipate an advocate. He didn't anticipate a high priest. He did not anticipate the eternal blood of the Lamb on the eternal mercy seat. God have mercy. He didn't put that in the package. Hallelujah. Now I want you to understand, I want you to see something with me here. Satan's workmanship was the tapestry and the pipe. I've already told you, the temple and the dance. I want to ask you, where is the first place in the scripture the timbrel and the dance is mentioned? Anybody know? Huh? David? No, we're getting close. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exodus 14:15. Isn't that right? Yeah, we're getting a little closer now. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning your fathers. He said, and when he went down through types and shadows, and he come down to the Red Sea, he said the Red Sea is a type of water baptism. And it was when they come through the Red Sea on the other side and they stepped out on the other side of the Red Sea that Miriam picked up a tambourine. And the children of Israel started rejoicing. My. Miriam's song said something like this. For thy right hand, O Lord, it is glorious in power. For thy right hand, O God, has dashed the armies of the enemies in the depths of the sea thereof. And lo and behold, the psalmist said, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them praise him with the timbrel in the dance. The first place anybody ever praised God on earth with the timbrel and the dance was on the other side of the Red Sea, which is a type of water baptism in Jesus' name. Devil, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. You took it from my kingdom. I'm coming to yours and taking it. And the only way I can get it back is I gotta take them through the water. Now, somebody said, I'm waiting on the Spirit to move on me. I feel like preaching a little while, that's all right. Amen. Well, I'm gonna sit here and the Spirit moves on me just right. And oh, if they sing that song one more time, I don't think I can take it. Oh, I feel the Lord picking my feet up and putting them down for me. I gotta wait to get in the Spirit to be able to do this. You show that to me in the Scripture. It ain't there. I'll tell you the only reason why you need to dance and shout. I've already been to the water, and I've already been baptized. I ain't waiting on something to move on me. I've got a right to praise Him. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. That is the only reason I need to praise Him. Shakatabaha. Sit down a second. I'm not sure. Well, we better be careful because the charismatics are shouting now. Well, what are they shouting about? Huh? What in the world are they shouting about? That's a glory cloud, all right. Still smoking, still chewing, still fornicating. Still looking like Jezebel. Still drinking. Drunk on Saturday night. Trying to sing the songs of Zion on Sunday. Honey, you don't live a dog and die a cat. You shout from the rooftop of righteousness on Sunday morning and live in the basement of immorality all week. That ain't getting it done. Well, I'm saved by grace. Sure, you're saved by grace. But when grace has appeared in salvation, it teaches us something. To deny ungodliness. To deny worldly lust. What did He save you from? Well, I'm saved. Saved from what? Supposed to be saved from sin. That's how come they have to have them come in and teach them a little choreography. Because they're still living in sin and living in the flesh. And trying to concoct some work of the Spirit. That's why the beat's got to be going. Huh? That's why somebody's got to be cheerleading. That's why somebody's got to be saying, pick them up, put them down. I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade that for some dear old granny with a little bun on the back of her head that just gets out and starts shaking sin. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've come to seek and to save that. Now, when Jesus found you, and when that preacher took you to a watery grave, and said, now upon the confession of your faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, and obedience to God's holy command, I now indeed baptize you into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Pharaoh went into the water with you. His armies were hot on your trail. So when that preacher pulled you up, Pharaoh had to stay in there. And Miriam said, thy name, O Lord. Thy name, O Lord. That's how come there is liberty in an apostolic church. That's right. I said, that's how come there's liberty in an apostolic church. Pharaoh's back there in the Red Sea somewhere. All right, sit down. I'm about through. Well, I'm getting a little closer to doing something tonight. Well, that's good. I've seen people sit there. You know, some people, those people that say, oh, God, if they say it one more time. I'm going to tell you, they're dangerous to sit next to. They are. It's like an anxiety attack. And finally it snaps. Ah! Man, they slap you in the mouth. They bust your ribs. They stomp on your feet. Kind of like, ah! I never read one verse of Scripture that says explode into the presence of God. But I have read one that said, let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Man, there's so much I want to cover right now. See, when you were baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost and cleaned your life up, He said, now here's the difference. I don't want you worshiping me or praising me because you are forced to do it. I created man as a free moral agent. I want you to choose to do it. We got too many prime ministers in Pentecost. Come on, everybody, give me a J. Come on, everybody, give me an E. Come on, everybody, give me an S-U-S. What's that spell? Jesus. Oh, that's good. Let's all clap to the Lord now. You got to feel like Howdy Doody or something up there. Anybody in the building want to give God praise? Now, let me throw you a little curve here. Oh, God. See, when you're living a victorious life and you are free from sin, it is easy to praise God in victory. You know what I'm talking about? When God, now let me, before I get too far ahead of myself. What God wants out of you is not a forced praise. He said, why can't you just look and see how much I loved you and I saved you? While you were yet a sinner, I died for you. And the preacher doesn't have, and the choir doesn't have to do it. And you come into my presence, rejoicing and responding. Have you ever wished that we could have a little trial rapture? Have you? Have you ever wished, man, that's not fair. You know, it's not fair. Only one shot at it. I'm setting them up. They don't even know it right now. Anybody ever felt that way before? I got one shot at it. If I miss it, I'm in big time trouble. Me and him, the rest. I guess the rest of y'all is all ready to go. I mean, wouldn't it be neat if God would, like the kids say, like, far out, dude. I got a girl in my church. She'll call the house, and I'll pick up, and she'll say, like, praise the Lord, Pastor. Excuse me? Like, what's wrong with your mind? I mean, the other day, we're having tornadoes hitting all around us, and she calls the house. She says, like, Pastor, like, wow, dude, is there something happening outside? Is it, like, storming? Did she not do it? I said, like, have you looked outside? My God, 90-mile-an-hour winds out there, and you want to know if it's storming. Lightning hitting and burning houses down, and you want to know if it's storming out there. Hell, the size of softballs, and you want to know if it's storming out there. Are you blonde? I just got past before I knew what I said. I think Jesus died for everybody, blondes included, so don't. Anyhow. But, you know, I mean, it'd be kind of nice, you know, if we could have a little trumpet sound and a little shout given and we'd get a shot at it. And if we didn't make it, we'd say, okay, I need to find out why I didn't make it, right? I mean, it'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. Let me say, where in the world is he going? Have you ever read over there said, to those, he's coming back after those who love his glorious appearing? You ever read that before? Now let me ask you a question. What is going to be different about it when he appears then and he appears in a Sunday night church service? Huh? Now hang on a second. Now just think with me. Well, you know, streets of gold. No. We've all said,
what's going to make heaven heaven? The presence of God is building me a cabin.
In the corner of Glory Land.
Because Jesus will be what makes it heaven.
So, here we go. Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, what's going to happen when the rapture takes place? We're all going to be ushered into the divine presence of God. Is that not correct? Well, what happens on Sunday night when the Holy Ghost moves into a service? And you're sitting there like a cucumber. And the whole church is in the presence of God, worshiping and shouting and talking in tongues. And you just kind of like, what's going on in the building, huh? I think every time the presence of God moves in a service, that's your shot at a pre-rapture trial run. If you can't get into His presence now, what makes you think you're going to get there then? Why not? Well, I just can't praise God in liberty. Why not? What's holding you back? If it's holding you back now, don't you think it's going to hold you back then? You better take inventory right now. You better make up your mind right now. I better be able to give it to Him right now. If I can't break through now. Now, I understand. Now, hang on a second. I understand there's times of trial and there's times of going through things. Sometimes you don't feel God like you need to, and you're going through this. I understand that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you know good and well there's something holding you. Sit down a second now. See, y'all thought I just wanted you to shout for a minute. No. Now, let me give you a little something to chew on, okay? Now, that high priest got to the veil. He had already come from the altar, brazen altar. He had already come by the laver and the table of shewbread and candlestick and the golden altar and altar inside. Now, he's standing at the veil, and there's two things he's got to have in his possession. The first one is blood, and the second one's a burning censer. You know that? He's already come through all of his divine ordinances. Now, he's standing before the veil. Censer in one hand, which is tied for prayer and break, and a laver of blood in the other. Right? Oh, you Bible students, if I'm not right. But now here's what I want to know. Where is the opening in the veil? I've read every book I could find on this. It goes, they've got rings that attach it to the sides of the tent, from one side to the other. And they've got columns and poles and attached. What shocked the high priest when Jesus died on the cross is that it was rent in twain from top to bottom. It was now had an opening. What is the veil a type of? Flesh. How do you get past your flesh? Two things you have to have in living for God. To get past your flesh, blood, and worship. Hallelujah. I think there's a door there. It's not found in the Scripture. And this is the Gospel according to Mark again. I think it was the work of the Spirit. Oh, no, you had a rope. That's tradition. There was no rope tied to the high priest. That's not true. Sorry. I've heard that all my life.
He got in there and he was unclean and he died. They'd pull him out.
How are you going to pull him through the veil? History bears witness there was not one high priest ever died behind the veil. It's just a standard myth. He couldn't get through the veil unless he was clean. God have mercy. And let me ask you another question. When David was bringing the ark home, before he could get through the gate of the city, there were two things that David did. Number one, he stopped, built an altar, shed blood, and then he got out about 30 foot in front of it. Are you ready for this? He went six paces. Is that not correct? Six is the number of what? And sin is what? Man can only go so far in his worship. He can only go six paces. The seventh step is the step of the Spirit.
Oh, God.
It's where the Holy Ghost comes down. It's where it takes you past the veil of the flesh. That's how come. Well, I want the Holy Ghost, but I'm not going to praise God. You're never going to get it. I don't care how good you are. You're not going to get it. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. See? He said, I lost something that I want back. And the devil says, I know enough about people and God. If I can get them to live in sin or in condemnation, they're not going to give God what he wants. Can't do it. Oh, now you may. That real worship. He said, you're not going to give it to God. Because the only place you can really offer it is in the Holy of Holies. And you can't get there unclean. I've seen him try to do it. That's why I'm talking about this anxiety. It's like, oh, you're trying to do something the Spirit can do. Well, I feel like I'm losing you fast. and all this stuff. I'm waiting. No. Let me tell you the bottom line. Let me tell you why a lot of people can't worship God at Pentecost service. It's because they don't. If you've got a fresh altar and fresh blood, it's easy to dance before the Lord because you see the work of the blood. But if you're under condemnation and sin's hanging over you, you can try.
Well, praise God.
You can try, but you can't get there. But, oh, wait a minute, stop. Well, that means I can't get there forever. I didn't say you couldn't get there forever. Back up a little bit. Go back to the altar. Go back and get some blood. Woo! I'm glad His blood's never lost its power. I'm glad it still flows. I'm glad it's not a one-time shot in baptism. Hallelujah. If you're going to overcome Him, you've got to overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You've got to go back to the altar. The first law of Christianity is sin not. But the second law of Christianity is, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My God, have mercy. And all you got to do is go back to the altar and say, Father, I ask you to forgive me. Let the blood cleanse me again. Let the blood wash me again. Ah, this is what you died for. You gave this that I could obtain. That I could go before your throne. Boldly, that I could worship you, that I could praise you, freely praise you, freely worship you. My God. Hallelujah. 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 My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shatalanabah. Ilalabah Shakatah. That's how come every time you get ready to build you an altar, the telephone will start ringing. Hello? Or somebody will come over to the house saying, you want to go riding with me for a while? Or you get down to the altar and all of a sudden you say, did I turn the iron off? And everything in the world tries to keep you from that altar because blood's at the altar. Hallelujah. And the devil says, don't go by there. If I can keep you from the blood, if I can keep you from remission, if I can keep you from repentance, if I can keep you from confessing your sins to Him, He who is just and faithful to forgive, if I can keep you out of there, I can keep you from giving Him what He wants. But devil, you're a liar. I'm going to the altar. And the blood's going to touch me again. And when I come out of here, I'm coming out like David. I'm coming out dancing before the Lord with all of my might. God, somebody needs to praise Him right now. Come on, the devil's lied to you all week. You need to break loose and give Him praise. You can't praise Him? Come on, if you can't, ask Him to forgive you. Forgive me, oh God. Let me be able to praise you in liberty tonight. Woo! Hallelujah! Devil, I've got a right to praise Him. I've been washed by the blood. I've been cleansed by His word. I've got a right to praise Him. I've got a right to run these aisles. I've got a right to dance. I've got a right to leap for joy. I've got a right to wave my hands. I've got a right to clap my hands. This is what He lost. I'm just about through. Keep standing. You see, here's the most beautiful part about it. How many of you ever sang in a choir? Can I see your hands? Don't you just love choir practice? Man, you can sit at church when they announce it. Choir practice Wednesday night, 7:30. Choir practice Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock. So go. My God. Hang on, folks. You know what we're doing in this building tonight? We're having choir practice. I don't understand what you mean by that. Let me tell you. You see, Lucifer was the music and the choir of heaven. And so in this life, Brother Elder, God's teaching us our parts. I want my altos to sound off. I want to hear my sopranos sound off, he says. I wonder where my tenors are. That's why I'm going to do it daily. I'm going back to my altar. Because there's going to be a day. See, now I don't know how y'all do it at your church, but at ours, of course, I got a black music director, and everything we do has got a little different twist to it, you know. And so at home, we dismiss the choir. Choir is dismissed. They all go to the back, and then he gets to play something kind of funky. Da, 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 you know, and they all come in kind of... Don't mock it till you've tried it. Let me tell you why white folks don't like that kind of stuff. Because we can't do it. I asked old James one day. We was coming back from Texas. I was down there preaching a deal. And we was driving back. I said, James, can I ask you a question? And James, my music director, he said, yes, sir. I said, why is it that you black folks, when you're singing, you do all this? Ah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ah, ah. And I was sincere in asking him. He said, you really want to know? I said, yes, sir. He said, because we can. I hope we get big enough in the church, we just allow people to praise God however they feel. If you just want to kind of stand there and do a white style, or if you want to do a little something else, just go ahead and do it. Hold a second. Hold a second. Now hang on now. Hang on now. Hang on now. Choir is dismissed. And they all go to the back and they line up. And then who's ever the choir director or leader at the service at that time, they kind of give a little signal. Here comes the choir. They singing their little parts. Then they start lining up on the platform. And here they come up on the platform, lining up. Everybody's singing their part. They learned in choir practice. Living, he said. Here they go. What's some of the songs they sing, Sister Morgan? Hey, come up here, Sister. What's... They got one song. They got one song. I request it all the time. It says, who's on the Lord's side? The verses say, you've been running for a long time. Pardon me, my black showing up right now. Better make up your mind. Oh, they get to singing. And you can't keep your seat when it's a good Holy Ghost anointed choir singing. Now, you know, I got some, I tell you what, who's your leading alto around here? leading alto. Come on up here and get you a mic. Which one's a good, strong soprano? Sister Johnson? Strong soprano. Where's Sister Johnson? Sister Johnson. Come on down, Sister Johnson. The price is right. Just watch them steps. Now, who's a good, strong tenor? Who? Now, here's what's going to happen, folks. We got some requirements for our choir members. First of all, you got to have repented. You have to have been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Well, here we go. You have to have received the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking in tongues. You have to have attended new converts class and completed it. You have to be living a godly, separated life. This is what we hand out to our choir members. It talks about sleeve links. It talks about dress links. It talks about slits not being a patch to knee. It talks about no base makeup, no rouge, no lipstick, no lip gloss. Talks about not trimming, cutting your hair. Talks about young men looking holy and godly. That's the rules for the choir. And the Holy Ghost has got him a choir. And we're in choir practice right now. But you know what? When he calls for this choir, he's not just going to say, choir, you're dismissed. An angel's going to give a shout. A trumpet's going to sound. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump, we're going to rise to meet him. Woo! And honey, when we start filtering into heaven, we're all going to find our part. Ah, my God, have mercy. Now, this is just me, all right? I can see God grabbing the devil up by the nape of his neck. Come here, devil. You took something out of my heaven. I took something lower than you and made it better than you. I took sinful humanity and cleansed them by my blood. Justified them by my spirit. Sanctified them by my name. And such were some of you. And they're going to give me back what you took out of my head. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And praise His holy name. I want you to do me a favor. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, step out in the aisle right now. Center aisle. If you don't have the Holy Ghost or you want a renewing in the Holy Ghost, step out in the center aisle.